Hey everyone, here is an interview I did with Emily Frazier. We did this on Facebook Live, and I made it up into a podcast just like I normally do. So without further ado, here is the interview. Well, here we are again. Let's try this again. Emily, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Are you sure you've got all of your tech sorted out? I don't want to start talking for another minute and then you've got it all wrong.
It seems to be showing up now. Jim Telfer says, yay, finally. So if Jim Telfer says it, it's got to be good, because that guy never lies. So congratulations on your snooker championships you were able to run a couple weeks ago now.
Yeah, it feels like forever ago. June the 1st. So we were the live sport that kicked off here in the UK, which was an incredible achievement. Like I said, it feels like forever ago now, but 11 days straight, we did live snooker. We hit over 500,000 viewers every single day. It was absolutely fantastic. And all of the reviews that came out of it, all 64 players said that they were just so happy to be in a safe environment. Everyone felt more safe there than being in supermarkets or being out and about. And that was a great feeling. We had some really, really good coverage from the entire event. And so it kind of kicked us back into things. It was great to be back at an event. It was even better to be back with the team. Obviously, we'd been sort of working virtually on Zoom calls every week. And then all of a sudden, we're stuck in a building for 14 days with one another, ready to kill each other. I'm joking. But it was a great start, and I feel like we're back.
Yeah, and you said it was viewed by 500,000 people. That's awesome for Q Sports.
Yeah, and it affected us slightly because I'm just saying bye to Abigail because she's leaving the office. Bye, Abigail. The 1st of June we started, and it was like one of the hottest days of the year in the UK. So everyone was outside, sunbathing. So we were obviously quite concerned it was going to hit our viewing figures. But like I said, we were the first live sport to return since the obviously the current climate that we're in. And no, everyone couldn't get enough of the snooker. So it was a great 11 days. Really, really pleased with how it went. And we had a fantastic team that put it all together.
Yeah. Well, breaking news, COVID has hit and everything is shut down. So, but there's been a lot of like just crazy announcements that have come out of Matchroom in the last, I guess, week and a half, 2 weeks. You have basically restructured the entire Matchroom multisport pretty much.
Yeah, we've obviously been a department for, since I can remember, obviously, I started in the TV department when I came onto Matchroom Sport, progressed into special events, which is what we were when I came through, worked on the event operations side. And then we developed into Matchroom Multisport, still a department. But then recently, the Matchroom umbrella undergoed a new rebrand as such. So everything is this new Matchroom logo, which is fantastic. And then we've obviously partnered off into our own limited company, so Matchroom Multisport, which is fantastic news for us because we now have a stronger identity. We're going to build on our portfolio. We may still be working under the sort of the same umbrella as such, but we're bigger, we're stronger, we're better. It's fantastic and really, really great news for everyone here. New sports potentially, more cool events potentially as well. So onwards and upwards.
So basically there's no huge changes. It's going to be just new opportunities to grow the portfolio, like you said, and introduce new things.
Exactly. So we're a limited company now. We're a lot more professional, which could lead to bigger sponsors and things like that. Growing our portfolio of sports and events, the reason for doing it obviously is for all of that, so we can grow and we can develop and we can evolve, which is our aims for all of our events anyway. So it's just brilliant news for any pool fan, for all of us really involved, because it's just, it's the next step.
And not just pool, it sounds like that you have a bunch of events, or a bunch of sports, I should say, maybe.
Yeah, we have fishing, which is our next live event at the end of August.
Is Shane signed up for that one yet?
Shane hasn't, no, and I do keep telling him, but I don't think he'd be able to cut it amongst the 23 other anglers that are in the event as such. And he says he only fishes certain fish anyway, but, and it can be very hot days. I don't think he'd be able to take it. We also obviously range from gymnastics, netball, basketball, snooker. We are looking to evolve and develop our snooker portfolio as well, which is great. Ping pong, 10 pin bowling, which is the Webber Cup that we have here in October in the UK, which is our Moscone Cup version of 10 pin bowling. It's actually quite funny because USA have also won the last few years and have been quite dominant. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this year with Team Europe. And in previous years, we actually had a four-man team for each of Europe and USA, budget cutbacks and things like that. This year, we increased it to a five-man team as well. So it'll be quite interesting. We've actually made a few tweaks to the format for this year. And it will be interesting to see how they play out, because we may be able to apply them to the Moscone Cup in December. So we'll see what happens there. Just on, you know, there's things like the Baker matches, there's doubles and there's singles, there's fans' choice, but we're also bringing in some new things as well. So it could be something that we bring in for the Moscone.
And we're not going to get any sneak peeks?
No, of course not.
The guy in the U.S. team with the giant afro for the web. I mean, I'm completely inserting my foot in my mouth, but that guy just seems like he would be so cool to get a beer with. That guy just seems awesome.
And I tell the same story. There was a bowling show that they did during lockdown that I went on, and I was in Vegas for the bowling event. And obviously we're out there for the install. So I'm there a few days before. And I get a call from Kyle Troop. And so I answer, and he's asking me a few questions. And I said to him, I said, "You sound really funny, like, what's going on?" He goes, "Oh, I'm just in the bath." And I was like, "Huh? You've called me when you're in the bath?" And I tell him that I tell this story to everyone. And he said that's when he gets all of his, like, main thinking and all of his stuff done. And I said, okay. I just said, "Don't ever call me when you're in the bloody bath again." And I hung up. And he hasn't, but it was just funny because I could hear him splashing around. I said, lucky he hasn't FaceTimed me, otherwise he would have got thrown off of the event. But no, he's returning this year, which is great news. He's a really, really important part of Team USA. He's not only is he talented, he's also brings out the comb for his afro, and he's also very entertaining for a crowd and spectator perspective. So really, really looking forward to the Webber Cup this year.
Yeah, it's there's two sports in the world that I just absolutely hate to play, and it's tennis and bowling, but I would watch the Webber Cup all day long. That is such a fascinating event. I love it.
Yeah, it is great. So I'm sure everyone will be able to see it when we go live in October. So any pool fans that love their bit of 10-pin bowling, you've got to tune in.
Yeah. So I guess back on track with the, I guess the de-departmentizing of Matchroom Multisport, you got yourself a nice promotion. So what is your new role going to be with Matchroom?
So obviously we're a limited company. So I'm managing director, which means obviously on the board as well. And it's great because Barry's still very much involved in the pool side of things. He has probably taken a little bit of a step back as such, probably just because I don't let him get as involved as much. And also we've got such a solid team here. We know what we're doing. We're good at what we do. Obviously Barry's got the experience, and it's great that he's involved, and he's really, really excited about the World Pool Championship. Really excited, you know, he's asking lots of questions on the format, where it's going to be. That's definitely one that he will attend, which is great. So I think secretly probably that and the Moscone Cup are going to be his favorite events. But yeah, it's it's obviously nothing too much has changed as such, but I think for the overall growth and the future of Matchroom Multisport and effectively Matchroom Pool is heading into a completely different direction now. We're only going up, and it's going to be fantastic moving forward. And in such a situation that we're currently all going through right now, it's great news, and it's something positive that we can all look to. And we're just excited, really. We're all excited.
Yeah, even with the shutdown, you guys are still having some really cool content that's coming out. Obviously it can't be live sports, but you guys are still doing all of your reruns of some fantastic matches, some fantastic events. And I mean, it's crazy that you guys can still get, 6 to 1,200 viewers at any given time for some of these reruns, but it shows how great the productions are. They're rewatchable.
Yeah. It's something that we're extraordinarily good at when it comes to the production of our events. When we staged the Championship League snooker on the 1st of June, it opened our eyes up to a whole new level of production. Maybe we've been spending money in areas that we don't need to be spending on. And it's going to help us develop how we move forward, because now we can look at new events because we don't need to spend money in certain areas, and it can actually push us over the line to getting new events out there. But also, the team here, Jake and Nick, they have put together such a great schedule of all of the footage and the events that we've got going out on our Matchroom Pool YouTube channel, and as well as all of our archive footage that's now on Matchroom Live, all of the previous World Pool Championship, which is great. And very innovative and creative. Jake, obviously, he sits there, he's got all the reruns coming out and premieres that are happening every night as such. So even though no live pool events are happening right now, we're still making sure the viewers are seeing some pool, and what's not better than our Matchroom events.
Yeah. So I guess going into the actual events that are and were scheduled, unfortunately, we'll start there. The World Pool Masters has been canceled for the year. What actually went into making that decision at Matchroom?
Obviously, we made the choice to reschedule the event quite soon when the pandemic started, which was early in March. It feels like forever ago now, so you'll have to bear with me on all of my dates. And so obviously it was always put in our schedule to, get it done by this year. I think we had looked at November possibly, and our plans were to have all of the, our Moscone Cup players obviously at the World Pool Masters and to travel to the UK after. And that was all part of the plan. But the schedule is just broadcasters just overwhelmed with live sport now being pushed from October onwards. There is so much football. I mean, I personally haven't particularly been a big fan of football, won't lie. I've actually started to like it recently, and I've started to watch it more. But it's on all the time at the moment, so it's so hard to schedule anything. And I keep saying it, unfortunately, pool is not top of the priority list. It's not. So when it comes to scheduling our events, the most important thing is that we have to work with our host broadcasters, and we have to work on our audience viewership. Like I said, on the snooker, we were hitting over 500,000 live viewers, the snooker. We would not be getting that at the pool. But what we need to be doing is looking at how we're scheduling our events moving forward. And obviously the pool calendar in itself is difficult. And I'm sure they won't mind me saying, but we started a good email chain amongst all of the promoters and the organisers in pool, which I think was the best thing that we could have done in this situation. It's a confidential email chain. We all discuss amongst ourselves what certain dates are going to be. If I'm looking at new dates for a potential new event, I just chat with the guys there. And it's an open conversation, so we're not all clashing with one another. Because the most important thing, there's no live pool events right now. The worst thing that we could do is come January and we're all clashing with one another and we're overlapping and players aren't able to go to all of the events. I mean, selfishly, I could just put my hands up and go, well, the Matchroom events are the best. Everyone's going to want to play and I don't really care about anyone else. But that's not how we're going to grow the sport. We are not going to grow the sport like that. So we all have to work together, come under one umbrella. But then that's just the pool calendar, which is this. Then you look at live sport calendar, which is like this. It's a whole new different ball game as such. So coming back to the rescheduling side of things, for how the event was looking, we obviously had a few players pull out because of the situation. We had our two Chinese players in there. And so when we were looking at the event for later this year, we kind of were just doing it for the sake of it as such. We weren't sure that all of the players could get there. We weren't sure that we could have all of the staff there. So the level of production that we normally deliver our events to wouldn't have been to our standard. So we took a step back and we said, okay, what's the best thing? What's the best way for this event? We wanted to implement so many changes for the World Pool Masters. It's always been that event that's second best to the Moscone Cup because it always has been and it shouldn't. All of our events should be on par with one another in their own different way. And so we're looking at ways to evolve them. And the best thing to do was to cancel this year and let's start again next year. Let's have a whole new 24 players. It would have just felt so bizarre having the Moscone Cup 2019 MVP winner when it should be the 2020 MVP, and it was all getting very confusing. So look, clean slate, new players, new dates, 2020 is cancelled. So we've got 2021 coming up, which is the best, was the best decision for the event, definitely. So I know it's not great, obviously for fans, because everyone wants to see the World Pool Masters out there, but it needed to happen. And there's no point doing something just for the sake of it. We're not going anywhere. We've just gone from Matchroom Motorsport from a department into its own limited company. We're not going anywhere. We're in it for the long haul. Yep. We've just acquired the World Pool Championship. We're not messing about. We're not just doing it for the sake of it. We love it. We have a passion for pool, and we're only going to keep moving forward and keep going and keep going upwards as such. So there'll be another World Pool Masters down the line. So let's make sure we do it right. Reset. March. Don't know the date off the top of my head because I haven't said it enough times. Normally I memorize them and I can say it like that. Gosh, I'm going to absolutely hit myself. 25th to the 28th of March, 2021, Gibraltar.
I think. And especially since, we'll go along with it.
I think so.
Nobody facts checks in pool anyways. So, you guys were, I guess, not trying to change the subject too much, but you guys were trying to have significant changes to the World Pool Masters, that if you have to do it in some sort of limited sense, and I mean, if we could be real, pool doesn't bring in the most amount of money ever. So to set up a bubble and a 14-day quarantine for all the players and all the staff, that's really hard to do with I'm assuming the limited budget that pool offers. So these things all need to be taken into account too, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there's no money in pool.
Yeah. you can do it in snooker because there's some decent money in snooker. There's just no money in pool.
Because there's viewership. There's live viewership for snooker. We're not seeing that in pool. I don't know whether it's not exciting enough. I don't know whether we're not scheduling it right. Are our players as entertaining? Are they as competitive as they should be? So moving forward, what we should be doing is ensuring it is the 24 best players in the world at the World Pool Masters. Not just who's friends with this person or I don't know. It should be the 24 best players. If we can't get the best players there, then why are we doing it? So same as the World Pool Championship. Why try and stage it in October this year when we know full well that half that field that should be there probably cannot make it due to international travel. So we should be ensuring that these events are competitive. They are delivered to the highest standard of how we feel it should be. And people want to tune in. And if they do tune in, they stick with it. So we need to be making sure we're ticking all of those boxes. And that's why we look at rescheduling, things like that. The costing for testing and things like that, we obviously, like I said, we were the first ones back. We tested, oh gosh, I want to say like 180 people. Maybe that's a bit too much. 130 people or something for the snooker.
Just throw all a number out there. No one cares.
I'm going to throw a number. all of them were negative, no positive cases. The tests are very expensive, but since June the 1st to now today's day, the testing situation has developed. I mean, they're talking about how you can sanitize people walking into venues now. And that can basically ensure that you can get additional people in the stadium or in the arena. So there's so many things that are taking place now. So it's very interesting is how that develops. But there was just no certainty when it came to, for instance, October, November for the Whirlpool Championship and the Whirlpool Masters. In our eyes, we sat down and we thought the Moscone Cup should be our prime concern right now. And let's focus on that. Let's ensure that we can deliver that. And that's obviously why we looked at the rescheduling and the cancellation.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're obviously going to get to the Moscone Cup, right? Where that's not getting skipped. But chronologically in order, as far as the year goes, the U.S. Open would have fallen, I guess, just before the Whirlpool Masters, just after the Whirlpool Masters. And that has been yet to make any big announcements. And obviously this is going to be a snapshot in time. And who would have thought in December, leaving the Moscone Cup in Las Vegas, that we'd be sitting here having a conversation like this in July? So keep in mind that everything's obviously a snapshot in time. But what is the outlook of the U.S. Open at this point?
To be honest, if we're not giving you any news, it is purely because we don't know ourselves. Yeah. I think the one thing that we've been trying to do here at Matchroom and that we all agree on is that we want to be as transparent as we can to both players and any spectators that are attending the event, because we appreciate people have purchased tickets. People are sitting there questioning what's happening. And I just ask for everyone's patience, because it is a horrible feeling having that unknown factor. You know, people have purchased tickets, flights and things like that. But with the US Open, it's obviously trickier for us because it's meant to be in the United States. You all understand the current situation over there, so it's a bit tough for us. We're obviously in constant talks with MGM. We're trying to look at the availability. We're trying to also look at if it's possible for us to go over there. What's the earliest we can get over there? We're not just dismissing it. It's obviously extremely important to us, but it's a little bit easier with the events here in the UK. For instance, if we were skipped back a year and the Moscone was in Vegas this year, I'd be sitting here going, I don't know if it's happening or not, because you just don't know. At least here in the UK, you've got a bit more control, because we're in constant talks with government officials as to, you know, today they just announced that the World Snooker Championship will be one of the pilot events for testing live spectators in the arena. I mean, their arena holds up to 900. I don't know how many they'll end up being able to get in there, but they just sort of announced that today and it's all over the news. Great promo for the event. So that's great for us. We're going to have all eyes on that event to see how they do that with live spectators and then how it develops moving forward. I believe the 1st of October here in the UK is the official date for live spectators for sporting events. So we're just going to see what happens really when it comes to Moscone. But again, we're here in the UK. We know a little bit more. We understand the international travel for athletes coming over. But for us to take an event overseas, again, we were going to Gibraltar for the World Pool Masters. We know what's happening here in the UK, so it's a little bit easier for us. But again, US Open, we're not dismissing it. We're just trying to explore every avenue. Yep. We're not just going to shut an event down and say cancelled. We're not just going to go, we're going on this date. We are taking every necessary precaution and we are exploring every avenue. That is the only reason why people are waiting because we just physically do not know yet.
Yeah. And it seems week to week, even almost day to day, things change at a pretty drastic scale. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So I guess trying to stay chronologically in line, the World Cup of Pool, is there any updates on that one or
no? Nope. Tell by my facial expression.
So that one's another tough one because you have 32 countries. The whole site gets two, so you have 31 different countries at least. And actually, there's a European wild card, right? Where you just kind of have two players. Isn't there a wild card out of the Europe last year?
No, I don't think so. And I think that's something that we're going to be ensuring is more of an actual either rankings or qualification moving forward instead of just a wild card. Shouldn't be like that. Again, World Cup of Pool is currently unknown for us. The only reason why it's not out there is just because we are unsure ourselves. But again, we're looking at all different avenues here in the UK, overseas, new dates, rescheduled dates. It's just open at the moment, and we're exploring all different avenues for it. So just be patient with us, please. Yeah.
So then the World Pool Championships, I assume, has to be about the same as far as... But I should say that in the beginning, you seemed more optimistic towards that one than you did for the rest of them. And maybe that's just because you're taking it over and you're excited to get it underway and make it a matchroom event.
I am, yes. I'm very excited about that one because I keep seeing the World Pool Championship reruns and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to do it so much fucking better this time. It's actually quite interesting because no one in the Matchroom Multisport team has never been stronger than it is right now. It is such a solid unit and I fucking love this team so much. We've got some good people here, but no one here has ever done the World Pool Championship before. So ignorantly, in my eyes, we've never done the World Pool Championship. So year one of when we do it, that will be year one. And we're going to absolutely smash it out of the park, even in this situation. But again, we need to ensure that the top 128 players are in this event. And we are 100% reserving spots for women. I want to see some women in this event, and I do hope that they all turn up for it. But again, it should be the top players. It's the World Pool Championship. So if it means we reschedule it a little bit later to ensure that happens, then so be it. At the moment, we can't set anything in stone right now. Everyone knows that. Everyone has that in their own life, not even in just the events business. So the most important thing is to keep an open mind and to also take a step back and look at the bigger picture for Matchroom Pool and for all of our events and what is the best decision for them. Yeah. I know everyone is eager for them to come back. Trust me, there isn't anyone more eager to do a live event than me. But the important thing is to do it properly and to do it right and to do it to its maximum potential. But we're looking at the UK again, like I just mentioned to you, we have a lot more control here in the UK. So that's an option. And if it means exploring different dates, then so be it. But we're also keeping an eye on the prize money. That's something that's extremely important to us.
And to the players.
And to the players, yeah. So, yeah, very positive about the World Pool Championship. But I think, like what you said, more exciting because obviously we haven't done it yet. But also, it feels like forever since the US Open, and we've actually only done 1 year of it. We kind of wanted to do year two, and we're obviously our biggest critics. As far as we're concerned, we didn't nail it. But there's so much more we can do with it. So, and we've got so many ideas on production now. That couple of months that we had in lockdown and sparking back with Championship League snooker has really ignited like a huge spark and a big old fire up our backside here to just excel us into, you know, what's going to happen and what changes we can make. It's very exciting.
Yeah, definitely. So, I love the idea of getting the women involved for the Whirlpool Championships as well. And I think Kelly Fisher and Margaret Fefalova, they deserve some. I don't think either one of them has missed a ball now in about 6 months. I would love to see those European women playing in that.
By the way, shout out to Kelly Fisher, because I think she just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. So
she did, the BCA, yeah, the BCA Hall of Fame.
Bravo to her.
Well deserved.
Yeah, definitely. She's such a, she's a great ambassador for the sport, 100%. And it was, I loved that, you know, her in the World Pool Masters last year, and she obviously had a spot for this year, but we're going to see what happens moving forward for next year. But I'd love to see her at the World Pool Championship. Do you know who is also a strong boss woman that I really love is April
Larson. Yeah. April Larson. Yeah. She is just the sweetest. I love April Larson.
And she's doing all her like workouts on Instagram, and she's like toned up and she looks fire. And she's also a great. I think she's gonna be a real good ambassador for US pool for women, 100%, because she's got dedication. I see the dedication she's got towards like working out, and she's willing to sort of watch, learn. I don't know her personally that much, to be completely honest, but I'd love to get to know her more and to see how she evolves. I want to see her signing up to the US Open, and I 100%, I will make sure that moving forward that we have spots on reserve for the women to, because I don't want any excuses that, oh, we couldn't get in because it was full. Sorry, it's favoritism, but I am obviously a woman, so I will reserve spots for women. That's obviously what happens. But I'd love to see her at the US Open, just sort of bossing stuff. And I think she's going to be a really, really good ambassador moving forward.
So you said you didn't know her. Well, somebody out there knows April Larson. Tag her in this so she can get in here. But I mean, April Larson, you don't know her maybe, but I promise you that if you did, you would, you might even just have Matchroom give her her spot to the US Open. She is like the sweetest, best. She's the greatest. She actually is that good. And, you know, she actually can play some pretty good pool too. She plays real good. So I guess from there we can move on. And there was one thing that you said earlier that was, it kind of perked me up a little bit, because I have a non-refundable flight to London for the Moscone Cup this year. So
I mean, that's your fault. To be completely honest. But what person books a non-refundable flight in this situation? Like, obviously that you just wouldn't do that.
To be fair, I booked it with credit card rewards, and that's why it's not refundable. It's not your problem. But because of that, you have to have the Moscone Cup no matter what. No, I mean, for me, totally just for me. Okay. But you said something which made me a little happy. You said that you're able to disinfect people as they're walking into a room, or there's something similar to that. Does that mean that the Moscone Cup has a better chance because of this?
I think that there's so, like, even governments are just being overwhelmed with how many different services, but equipment and things like that that are now becoming available, because that's all people are working on right now. So everyone is being overwhelmed with different ways in order to look at those things. So for us, if there's things out there that would better the chance of getting more spectators into the event, 100% we'll be doing it. We're very, very, like, we did a press release or a statement not too long ago, just obviously expressing about our world rankings that are currently on hold towards the Moscone Cup. And also we're very hopeful that the Moscone is going to go ahead. Like I said, we're very focused on it. It's here in the UK. We have a little bit more control over it. We will exhaust every possible option before having to cancel that event, because we want it to go ahead just as much as you guys do. And we will make sure that we look at every avenue. And the only way that it doesn't is obviously if we physically cannot. We obviously have to think of overseas players that are coming in. If it means that we have to create a bubble and all get tested and no one's allowed to leave the zone, we'll do it. So we are looking at every possible scenario, and we're in constant, you know, discussions with the right people and just staying up to date with what's going. But we can't make you just can't make decisions right now. Things are changing so much. And I'm guessing that's probably not the best answer that everyone wants, really. But that's all that we can really do, is just to assure everyone that we are working our hardest to make sure that it happens if it can, because we want it to. We don't want to cancel it. We don't want to have to move it. We want everyone to see the Moscone Cup. Obviously, it is one of those events that is quite reliant on the atmosphere. If it gets to the point where we can't have spectators, then we'll deal with it and we'll see what we can do. But we are going to be working our utmost in order to make it happen. We've got a big team meeting in here at the end of the month to look at our seating capacities, to look at all of our different options that we've got, if we have to social distance people and things like that. So trust me, we are working extremely hard. If you don't hear from us, it's because we're just busy working. But like I said earlier on, we want to be as transparent as possible. Any information that we can get out to anyone, we will be doing so as soon as we possibly can. And I just ask that everyone is just patient with us.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned in there that if we have to get the players into a bubble, similar to that of snooker, and I mentioned that earlier, that it's hard to do that with the budgets in pool. It's a lot easier in snooker because those are actually money-making things. But that is a potential possibility for, I guess, the event as well. And if that's the case, then that probably means no fans. But, of course, this is all day-to-day. But I guess just to wrap up what you kind of said there is, you guys are going to try to make it happen even if there's a bubble. So I guess for the fans, not that it's going to happen for sure, but be hopeful is kind of what I'm taking away from that.
I think the bottom line is to just be hopeful that the event is going to take place, because we are 110% determined to make sure it does. Again, we can't make something happen if we physically cannot, if it's not possible. But the bottom line is we're determined in doing so. We've got some announcements coming out on the 3rd of August. I won't divulge into that, to do with the teams. So if anyone's got any questions on who's going to be making the team and things like that, wait for the 3rd of August. There's going to be some announcements coming out, which obviously will keep everyone, it will give everyone a little spark and to get everyone sort of revved up for the event. But again, we're hopeful, we're determined, we're going to do everything we possibly can to make it work. So just bear with us.
And I suspect that there is no answer to this one yet, because you'd have to know whether or not it's going to happen. But if there is some sort of limited capacity where the fans are social distanced, and tickets have already been purchased, or I guess you aren't at capacity yet, so maybe you can make it work with the tickets that are already purchased. But how is that going to look as far as how would you get a ticket at that point?
How long is a piece of string? I mean, we could literally sit here and go, there's no point in stressing ourselves out and going, oh, but what if this, what if that, what if this? We can't determine that right now. There's no point in me saying, yeah, we can get this crowd and we can do that, because we physically do not know. But the important thing is that when we do get some clear guidance as to what we can and can't do, we are so led by the government advice. Like I said to you earlier, there's an announcement today that the World Snooker Championship is allowing spectators into the venue. That is solely from the government. That's come from the government. So we are led by what they are doing. We are led by their rules, their regulations. And once we know more, then we can look into the capacities. But there is no point in us sitting here saying, what if this, what if that, what should we do with these tickets? So we're just going to see what happens for a little bit longer. We're going to just watch the world. I keep going to say World Pool Championship. I'm going to watch the World Snooker Championship, see how that goes, because that is a pilot event for live spectators. So again, we're not making any rush decisions. There's no point in doing that. We're better than that. We obviously overthink a lot and we're cautious. And we want to ensure that there's no point going out and telling people something that we're going to retract later on.
Yeah.
We need to make sure we're 110% sure and certain on something. But again, we're just in this unknown bubble right now. It's very difficult for everyone involved.
Yeah, so first off, Jim Telfer's trying to get me in trouble, but he's also trying to donate $100 to the stream, so that could get me something. Anyways, Michael Pinozo said that you just need to get Jim Telfer to organize a bunch of, for lack of a better word, idiots to pipe into the crowd noise if you have to do it without fans.
If we're going to do that, then we'll spend money on it properly.
that's fun. So a question that I had from a fan is, has Matchroom ever thought about trying to get celebrities involved with like matches maybe the night before big events or anything like that? So that's a very popular thing for golf is you'd have kind of the players match up with a celebrity and then they would play tournaments in that group, I guess, against each other. Has Matchroom ever thought about trying to get that involved with, and of course it would probably happen with snooker before it would happen with pool, but to help kind of grow the brand of it?
It used to happen with snooker a long time ago. It used to happen with poker a long time ago. It used to happen with darts a long time ago. So you can probably see that the consistency of a long time ago, it's a little bit old hat. And I also think that the celebrities are our players, not anyone else coming into play as such. So what we should be doing is focusing on professionalizing each of our events. Again, you could be growing the brand. You could be bringing in celebrities as such to bring in awareness, but that's our job. That's what we should be doing. And if we aren't growing the brand, then we should be fired because that's we're the promoter. We should be growing it. If it means that we get Mike Tyson to stand at the beginning of the US Open and say, okay, let's rock and roll, whatever tagline we come up with, then we do quirky stuff like that. But it's a little bit old hat. Maybe sort of it works in golf or it's worked in previous years, but let's focus on who the real celebrities are in this sport. And they're our pool players.
And they're very reachable celebrities, which is one of the fun parts about pool is it hasn't gotten big enough yet to where the celebrities, meaning the players, are unreachable. So
that's going to change moving forward.
Oh, yeah. Well, we hope so, right?
Yeah. The players shouldn't be accessible how they are. They should be celebrities. And moving forward, they should be the ones that, you know, people are tuning in for, not just our normal fans, but casual sporting fans. So we should be growing their profiles. And that's exactly what we're doing here. All of our graphics, our artworks, our announcements are just absolutely just hit a new level. They're top notch now. And that's what we should be doing. We should be professionalizing these players and ensuring that they've got sort of like new brand sponsors, or we should be bringing in more mainstream sponsors, companies. And that's our job. That's what we should be doing. And I think moving forward, the players should be treated more like celebrities. And I hope that doesn't mean they start going all diva-ish because they're normally actually quite pleasant to work with. But no, they should be getting bigger prize money and things like that. That's what we're working on. This is all part of us evolving the sport.
Okay. So anybody out there with any questions that you want to get in, get them in quickly because I think we're wrapping this up really quickly. So
yeah, it's nearly 8 o'clock and I would like to leave the office and go home and have some dinner. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I do have one question. I have one last question. So if you're okay with that. So earlier you had mentioned that you had a email chain with a lot of the promoters in the U.S. and elsewhere. Matchroom does seem to be making the effort to work with the other companies around, whether it's the U.S. or the rest of the world. What are some of your plans maybe to work with some of the other groups going forward, or are there any?
I mean, there's nothing to say that we shouldn't be holding amateur tournaments alongside our big open events. that's obviously one thing that we're working on. All of our events, they're not quite there yet. They need more work and they need a lot of love. They needed a lot of creativity. And I think moving forward for the industry, we're only ever going to grow as a sport as if we all work together. Again, that's all down to scheduling. That's down to ensuring that the players have a full calendar of events. Moving forward with our world rankings and obviously with our Moscone Cup rankings, we're going to be reassessing every qualifier and every event that is part of our world rankings and part of the Moscone Cup rankings, because we need to ensure that the right prize money is being offered, it's the right setting and surrounding for the players, and it's all to a professional level. And we also, we need to be bulking this calendar up. If it means that alongside one of our events, we're bringing in 5,000 amateur players that are also sort of attending, then we're open to those ideas. I'm open to all suggestions. Yeah, okay, I might knock them down every so often, but we're open to ideas. We don't just think that, okay, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We're doing a great job. We're the best. Obviously, we are. We are the best. But we need to be doing more, and we're focused on that. So if it means making changes to our events, then great. With us doing that snooker event at the beginning of June, it's opened the question as to what other pool events we could be doing. You know, we're all about sort of acquisitions and taking on the US Open and the World Pool Champs, but there's new events that are out there, and I'm not talking about the Reyes Cup because it's kind of like old hat, and it's been trying to happen for like so many years now and it just won't get off the ground. But there's other ways that we can do new events that we can get over the line. So we're focusing on that at the moment as well. I just want to build the pool calendar. That's all I want to do. I just want to make sure that all the pros can just go bang, 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 and they can be playing back-to-back events. And we've got this full calendar of sport for them so they can do what they love. And that's kind of what we're focused on. So, but again, we need to make sure that our events that we currently have are also as good as they should be. And it's not to say that we're stuck in Vegas. We're exploring different states. They might work better for us. They might draw in more players. They might draw in more spectators. We're open to a lot of things. And it's exciting, but we're willing to work with a lot of people. I think it's even, we announced the juniors for the US Open. Obviously that came to a halt because the event's been postponed for the time being. But again, I don't think we, you know, made everyone happy because we wildcard picked the selections and things like that. But there's obviously step one when it comes to new ideas like that. But that's working with the BCA. And so we've all of a sudden evolved year two of the US Open working with a junior small event with the BCA, where, oh, by the way, how have I forgotten this? Because it was a bloody great idea that the winner of that event gets fast-tracked into the US Open the following year and their entry fee paid. It's like, it's a no-brainer for growing and evolving the sport. How does anyone not see it? I mean, I just feel like I want to give myself a pat on the back. No, I'm joking.
Did you just come up with that on the spot?
No. It's like, obviously, that's what comes out of our brainstorms that we're having here. And that's why I'm saying our team is so strong right now. Like, we've been the strongest we've ever been. That's what comes out of our team meetings and things like that. And having a junior who can play alongside the US Open TV stages that we can also cover as part of our main event. What junior would ever think that they would be part of the TV coverage of the US Open that Matchroom are promoting? Then all of a sudden they win that. Sorry, there's a fly in here. they win that, and then they play in the US Open next year. It's a fantastic opportunity. But again, it was the first time that we were sort of launching that, and we have to make sure that, you know, we start slowly and start small, and we can grow and evolve that. So we 100% want to work with everyone. We could put our hands up and just go, we can kind of do what we want to do. We do the best events and we're just going to, these are our dates. This is what we're doing. You either like it or you don't. We don't want to be like that. No. We want to work with everyone. We are trying to work with everyone. But it takes two to tango. And so we're open to it. And I think that the email chain that we've got with the promoters is great. And it's been very vocal. We've all been communicating and everyone's really got on board with it. And so it's been a great idea. And if any pool fans or pool players are watching or even listening, even though we're in a real tough time at the moment and no one's been playing in any events and the rest of the schedule is just looking basically like a wish wash, we are so dedicated. And I keep saying we are so determined at bringing pool back and just giving it this fresh breath of fresh air, which I feel like we've been doing for the last year anyway. But this is just giving us a whole take on how we produce and stage our events, and we're only ever going to grow from here on in. So we might be quiet for a few months or things like that, but we are working so damn hard. And if anyone needs a bit of motivation boosting, I'm telling you right now, we're fucking back, and we're coming back strong, solid, and there's going to be some exciting stuff coming out of Matchroom, but be patient, because we're not just going to just do things rushed, but that's why we're good. We think about things and we're going to consider every possible option. But just be patient, but stay excited, because we are.
Yeah, I think, first off, that's you know how to get people fired up, because I'm actually pretty excited.
But I think I'm sweating a little bit. No,
but I'm mostly excited right now for August 3rd, because I am excited to hear those announcements. Where are we going to be able to see those from?
I was just looking at my diary, like, what's happening on August 3rd? Obviously, all Matchroom. By the way, all of our accounts, I'm not sure if anyone's noticed, you should have noticed, but on social media, along with our rebrand, and how did I even miss this, by the way? Sorry, it's at 8 o'clock on Friday.
I mean, it's time for a nice glass of wine, not to talk about pool.
God, no, I'm going home. I might do like a bit of Pilates or something like that. I've turned into a right loser. but as part of our rebrand, and obviously Matchroom Multisport Limited Company, we've switched all of our social accounts. We're no longer Moscone Cup, World Pool Championship, US Open, blah, 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 blah. The thing is that we're now Matchroom Pool. And we didn't do that because Jake needs an easier life at managing the social accounts. We did that because we are growing. We want to add more bloody events to that. We don't want to create new social pages for the new events that we do. We should be in one Matchroom Pool. And all of our content, everything's going out from there. We've got Matchroom Pool YouTube channel. So for all news, it is so simple now. Matchroom Pool, if you don't follow us, then you're absolutely mad, because that's where all of the information is coming from. That's where all the best events come from. So if you haven't yet, we're going to be disabling all of our old accounts. So if you're not now following Matchroom Pool, you should be. But that's where all the information is going to be. So watch out, Monday the 3rd of August. If we don't get an announcement out then, it's because something's gone horrifically wrong. No, I'm joking. So should be good.
My flight says it has to be good. I will let you get back to your Friday night. And cool. Let you go get some dinner. I appreciate you joining. And I hope everybody out there that's been watching, I hope you enjoyed the updates out of Matchroom. And
yeah,
I'm fired up.
Are you? Good. If you're ever having a down day, just message me and I will motivate you. That's how we are right now. That's our vibe.
We're
positive vibes only in here.
I might even go do some Pilates now. I'm so fired up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Emily. Well, thank you again for joining me, and thanks everybody for tuning in.
Thanks. See you later, everyone.
Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Queue It Up podcast.